dividing the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We pray tonight, O God, that you would feed us from heaven. You would cause your face to shine upon us through your word and your anointing of every heart, every mind, every life. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about being accepted in the beloved. You know, all of us, doesn't matter who you are seeking and looking for and need acceptance.
Right.
We don't always voice it, but all of us we were made very sensitive to rejection. And we know that Adam and Eve, they didn't know what happened after they sinned. They just knew that God did not accept them as he had. He put them out. And I want to talk to you how great the acceptance of God is. We don't have to earn being accepted by God because the price was paid. Paul said it this way. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ in himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Every time I go to the grocery store and get gas, I take my card out, and I pray that it gets accepted. How many have ever gone to gas or the store and your card was rejected? You see, Paul said that God has accepted us. And really, without a contrast, it really doesn't have the meaning for us that it should. See, back after Adam and Eve sinned, of course, we know that God raised Moses up and he raised up the tabernacle in the wilderness. But it wasn't open to everybody. Like today, we can all come together and enter into the Holy of Holies, but back there, only the high priest could. So in a sense, the people back there before Christ with the tabernacle, only the high priest could really understand acceptance. Now they covered the sins of the people for a year. But it wasn't what God wanted. You know, God is a hugger. God actually hugged sinful humanity.
Right.
He actually put his arms around those that rejected him. And if you and I will be honest, even since you've been a Christian, you've been rejected. Even since you've been a believer, there are people that have not accepted you. And I want you to know something tonight, friend. Whether men accept you or not, you have a Heavenly Father that accepts us on the merit of Christ and Christ alone. You see, I can't deserve his acceptance. I can't be good enough for his acceptance. How I am accepted by God is the moment I accepted Christ. And when I accepted Christ, then God accepted me. You see, he says it's in the beloved. He says it's not by the law of Moses. It's not by my good works. It's because God loved me enough to have a plan to accept me. Now, I don't know about you, but my high school years weren't much fun for me. I didn't like the competition. I didn't like the different groups, and some would accept you, some wouldn't. I didn't like that mess. You know, it's interesting that a lot of our emotional well-being, now listen to me tonight, friend. A lot of our emotional and mental well-being has to do with this issue. Because if I don't understand the power of rejection, reality that everybody's going to accept you, but the reality, if God accepts me, what does it matter if man rejects me? You might say, well, did Jesus experience that? Of course he did. He came unto his own, and his own did not accept him. That word receive is all accept. He did, they did not accept him. But to those who did, he gave them power to become the sons of God. See, the word accepted means a few things. It means to be received and to be highly favored. You know you're highly favored.
Right.
The moment that you and I accepted Christ, not only were we received, we immediately came into being highly favored. You see, our minds can't process that real good because we want to see, well, I've got to earn to be highly favored. God says, no, you're highly favored, now walk in it.
Mm.
God gives us years to walk in it, to make mistakes, to be inconsistent. But the reality is, the moment I accepted Christ, God looked at me, you're highly favored. Just think about this. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Just think about the many going to destruction. They're not favored by God.
Amen.
They could be. He's offered it to all men. But you and I, God saw us. We'll never totally comprehend this till we get to eternity. He saw us before the world and we were chosen. That doesn't mean God chooses some to go to heaven and some to hell. That's inconsistent with Scripture. But those he knew would choose him, he came up with a destiny. And that destiny is the favor of God. Listen, the worst place to be on this earth is out of the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
What is success?
Right.
Success is finding the will of God and doing it.
Amen.
The will of God is the word of God. A lot of people say, well, am I supposed to move to Russia? Well, let's get back to the basics. If I'm doing the word of God, then the directional and the personal will of God will unfold.
Amen.
You see, what does the Bible say about church? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves. If I do that word, then I'm in the will of God. Amen.
Right.
Now, God accepted us through Christ. Amen? But I want to take this in a little different direction. What do I need to accept? I've accepted Christ. But are there other things I need to accept? Yeah, we mentioned it. The Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men,
right,
but as what it really is, the word of God, right, which is at work in you believers. I believe Charles Spurgeon was the one that wrote this was only like a page or two, about how awesome and terrible and fearful it is for God to trust men with his word.
Amen.
That the preacher, the pastor, the teacher, the Sunday school, whoever teaches the word of God is representing God even more above his honor, because he honors his word above his name.
Mm.
That even imperfect vessels with different personalities and different types of things, God entrusts the word of God to.
Amen.
He said, listen, when we preach to you, you just should say, oh, that's just Paul talking, oh, that's just Mark. No, you received it as the word of God. All of us can look back, whether it was in the house of God, you're listening to a preacher, and all of a sudden he's preaching, and something is said, and it just hits you in your spirit. Because God used flesh and blood through the anointing to talk to you. I mean, I can advise specific times. My goodness, God just spoke to me in that 2-minute preaching thing I just listened to. We have to accept the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Second thing, now this is where the rubber meets the road. You got to accept yourself. Mm. We are living in a time when there is so much self-hatred. People don't even like themselves. I'm not talking about being narcissistic where it's a wrong type of ego love. You got to accept yourself.
Right.
And sometimes we go all through life looking for people to accept us, to accept who we are. There's very few people that will accept us for who we really are. There's only one.
Right.
How do we accept ourselves? You and I live with each other, don't we? We look in the mirror every day. These are four things so you don't get discouraged about yourself. Number one, you got to accept you're made in the image of God. No matter how much you fumble the ball, no matter how much you fail, no matter how much you miss the mark, no matter how much you gave into a temptation, you're still made in the image of God.
Amen.
God never goes like this to his son and daughter and says, I'm through with you. Now, you might have a little spiritual paddle to help us out, but he doesn't do that. Because he's promised to bring us through. He's promised to complete the work in us. And I tell you, sometimes when you and I look at ourselves, God, are you going to finish this thing? How many want God to finish that work in you? Is anybody the only one?
Amen.
Yeah, I want to see revival. Yeah, I want to see you saved. Right. But you know what? When it comes down to it, I'm also concerned that I run across that line, finish line, having pleased God.
Amen.
I'm also concerned that I'm like Christ more when I see him than I am today. Another way to accept yourself, you're not a product of chance. Just didn't happen to come. God planted you in the family where he wanted you. God planted you in the year you were born. Like I said, sometimes, well, how was it? How would it be to live back in the days of the cowboys and all that? Well, it was simple life, but it was a lot harder. Well, how was it to live in the days of Jesus? Well, it was wonderful, but Rome was taking people to the Colosseum. You and I were put here for this moment and this place.
Amen.
Another thing to accept, you've got to accept your strengths and your weaknesses.
Right.
You've got strengths. I've got strengths. We all got weaknesses. And we got to accept them.
Amen.
Paul said, listen, I'm not ashamed. The thing I want to do, I don't do. But yet, how powerful he was. You are powerful with your strengths, vulnerable with your weaknesses.
Hmm.
It doesn't matter what position God puts you in the church, or anointing, or calling.
Right.
You will have strengths and weaknesses that you must guard against till God works in us a divine character that will not lean into the weakness into sin. Let me tell you, honey, till that gate clicks behind us in heaven, we've got to stay humble with our strengths and guard our weaknesses. Because there ain't anybody that's exempt from temptation.
Amen.
Weakness is simply the highway for temptation to move upon. Accept it, that you and I don't have it all yet. But also accept God's endowed you with a lot. Maybe you have a lot of intelligence. Maybe gifting in certain areas. Maybe you're able to, your personality is just full, blossoms with love and kindness. But maybe there's some weakness also. Fourth thing we have to accept, we've got struggles to overcome.
Right.
Yeah. Well, else. And the thing I want to do is I don't do it. Well, I'm sure. Listen to anybody. Don't ever let a Christian or someone in the ministry say they have no struggles. That's a lie.
That's right.
We've got to accept that fact.
Right.
You see, you and I cannot overcome anything if I'm all on it. Amen. Now, I play a game on PlayStation 4. It's called Ships. It's these ships. And you play 9 ships against another 9. Some of you guys need to come over here. Over there, show you how to play the game. Watch you get blown up in 30 seconds. That's what I did in the first 2 weeks. But anyhow, and once in a while, you're playing that game. And somebody's a real gamer, right? Because they've been paying like $100 upgrade their ship. And so I'm just knocking off these little ships, you know, and these 12-year-olds, and you know, hey, you know, these 12-year-old kids. And then all of a sudden, from behind a mountain, comes this ship, V-8. And see, my ship has about this many lives. Those big ones have about this many lives. And when you see that baby come up around that mountain, it's over if you don't run. Because you can shoot for a half an hour and not sink it. And you know what? Sometimes struggles come into our life. We weren't ready. We can, you know, deal with the normal struggles, but all of a sudden something comes around your mountain into your life you weren't ready for, and I wasn't. And we realize at that moment that I can't just go forward and try to blast it. I need to get with God in prayer.
Amen.
I need to get with God like Jacob, who wrestled with God all night. This was a big ship coming to blow him out of the water, his brother. So he slides. I need to shut it down. I need to put my 2-minute devotions away and just get before the Lord.
Right.
Say, Lord, I'm not going to be presumptuous and go forward. This thing of struggling, whether it's depression, whether it's anxiety, whether it is a health issue, whether it is a child who's disappointed you, sometimes that thing can come around and we just continue life as normal. No, no, no. I put, anybody been in the Navy here? See, I put my ship full reverse. Pull it away. And another ship's going, attack it. You see, there's times to come away with God when the struggle is beyond. If you're sitting up night after night after night, you're worrying all day, you've got a ship that came around, you got just the solution is the beloved. Come to Him. Because He cares for you. And all of a sudden, Romans 8 becomes more real to us. Who shall separate us from the love? All of a sudden, those scriptures we've heard preached, and all of a sudden, it builds a faith. And God will say, don't go towards that ship yet. But then He might say, go, I'm with you. You can do this thing. You see, we need to accept ourselves. We're made in the image of God. We're not the product of chance. We have strengths and weaknesses, and we all have struggles to overcome.
Amen.
Another thing you need to accept is God's will and process. They're going to say process.
Process.
I learned this, and you know, Pastor Bob, I was trying to figure out how long I've been saved since 1976. Let's see, 96, 2006, 2016. 45 years. And I wrote this down because, it's, you know, you start getting older, you know, you start, instead of these long books and paragraphs, you start making some summaries, just kind of a few sentences to kind of summarize. You kind of, everything you've learned, you kind of, you know, summarize. And this is what I've got over all the years of serving God. God does not always show us everything at once.
Right.
He doesn't always show everything at once. And if you think about this in 1 Samuel 16:1, He was talking to Samuel there after Saul fell. Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. What's interesting here, God did not tell Samuel that it was David. Why did he in the same breath? Why didn't God say, I'm sending you to Jesse, and one of his sons is named David? He didn't tell him. And it's interesting, in your walk in mind, that God never takes the element of faith out. He'll never say everything, but he'll cause us to walk in a faith, and at the right moments, he'll add to it. At the right moment, when David was brought up, God spoke again. This is him.
Right.
And see, it's very easy to get discouraged because God doesn't give you the whole thing.
Right.
If he did, our faith would never grow. Right. But we have to accept his will. But you and I have to accept his process.
Mm.
I can't think of a better person that had to accept his process than Joseph. Didn't have a New Testament. Didn't have a Bible. Interested. Didn't have a preacher. Didn't have a pastor. How on earth did Joseph process all that happened to him? But yet, if you look back, rejection, put in a pit, lied about, put into prison.
Yep.
Yet God said, I did all that. Have you ever wondered sometimes, God, what are you doing? Not that God causes all things bad, he doesn't cause bad things to happen, but the circumstances he'll use.
That's right.
You see, God does one thing in mind with you and I. The moment I accepted Christ, I accept his will and his process. Sometimes the process is wonderful. Think of all the years that Joseph had been coated many colors. You see, he was highly favored and changed. He was received by his father. Then all of a sudden, the process changed. It's just like the 70 disciples. It was all great, casting out devils, healing the sick. But then Jesus had to adjust them. Say, guys, you know, the process is going to start changing. What is that to be a disciple? What is that, Jesus? You've got to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. In other words, as I was crucified, you're going to have to live a crucified life and surrender to my will. And they said, we don't have nothing to do with it. How many people have walked away from Jesus because they don't understand the process? Hey, I got to suffer as a Christian. How come people don't like me? How come people don't think like me? And we don't understand the process. And we never fulfill, we never become the David God called us to be.
Yep.
Another thing, last thing, we need to accept is God's people. I said God's people.
Amen.
I'll say it again, God's people.
Amen.
I think that that's a struggle in the body of Christ that really ought not to be. Whether someone's a certain denomination or whatever, if they know Christ, I'm to accept them. I'm not to debate whether to accept them. Romans 14:1, as for the one who is weak in faith, accept him.
Right.
But not to quarrel over opinions. But you will run into church people that you're trying to talk about Jesus and they want to talk about their doctrine. They're going to talk about, well, I don't believe in women preachers. I don't believe in gifts of tongues.
Yep.
I don't believe in this. Well, I'm not there to debate you. And you'll find out some people will not accept you, even though they're brother. Paul said, listen, if someone is weak in faith, accept him. Don't quarrel. How many believe life is too short for all that?
That's right.
How many believe when you look in the mirror, you look a little older than you did last year? Well, I did. But I something else did. But I mean, Pastor Deb, she's getting up there, but she looks younger than I do. That just shows you, well, 24/7 care for all these years, this is what it's time for. Wore me out. But anyway, you know. I mean, we know cares for care. But don't you love to be accepted?
Yeah.
You know, there's a little secret as we close, as you put some music on.
Amen.
You know. One of the reasons I had to deal with this major struggle to ask her to marry me because I didn't want to be rejected. I mean, major. Beautiful, anointed. All these guys wanted to date her. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, that guy told me. Yeah. I can't be able to handle a rejection like that. But what I did is I got that prayer room with my beloved. So I wasn't leaning on my personality. I wasn't even leaning on the call of God. I was leaning on my beloved. One day in prayer with him, there was a girl, and I told the story, making sure, crying. Went over to her after about 20 minutes. God said, she's getting married. I didn't know her. I said, are you getting married this weekend? She started crying. Yes, she told me for 2 hours. She told me, Assemblies of God, pastor's daughter, you didn't really know if she wanted to marry this guy. He was controlling us. You don't have to marry him. So she went on her way. They got married. A year later, she came back to me and said it lasted 6 months. She divorced him. But you know, after I took that time with her, got the confidence to call you.
Amen. Amen.
God lifted that thing. You see, when I sow something, it's often to what I need. I wasn't really forgetful. I was still ask her. But because I went with real compassion towards this girl, and I left that prayer room and came back. I called her. Totally shocked by what she said. Man, I've been waiting 6 years for it. I'm coming over and kissed me. It wasn't quite that way. As I arrived and opened her, I thought I was going to hear a worship song. You know, she's playing. Bill, will you marry me, Bill? I've got the wedding got blues. I said, I got it, sister. Let's take care of it. Let's remember, sow your need.
Thank you.
You're a discouraged person. You need faith, speak faith to
someone.
You need healing, call somebody up and pray for them.
Yes.
You need direction? Tell somebody, God is with you. He'll show you the way.
Yeah.
It's not just so. Because we frame our world by our words. I'm here glad tonight that God accepts us because of Christ.
Amen.
Not everybody's going to love you.
Thank you, Lord.
But I know someone that will.
That's right.
And he's determined to finish the work in you. In Jesus' name. Let's give God a praise tonight. This will be awesome.